Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today I have Dan Wallin. Dan founded the Wallin Group, which specializes in ASP.NET, jQuery, HTML5, and XAML consulting, as well as on-site and online training solutions. Dan is a Microsoft Regional Director and MVP, and he speaks at conferences and user groups around the world. Dan has written several books on .NET, and he writes for a variety of technical magazines. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing just great. I'm glad to have you on. Tell me a little bit about, I know what it means to be an MVP, because I used to was one, but what does it mean to be a regional director?
So a regional director, it's a great opportunity for, there's a group of us that have some pretty direct lines to some of the different teams, and we'll get to, you know, get some of the kind of early demos and give some direct feedback in a much kind of smaller group, I guess you could say. And we also have, you know, some very specific things we're supposed to do community wise and things like that. So in some ways it's like the MVP program, but a little more focused, I guess you could say, and a really great opportunity to be involved with some of these teams at Microsoft directly. I guess that's the shortest answer I could give.
That's great. And how does one become a regional director?
That's actually a good question. It's a little more of a process to that one. So everything from recommendations of peers to someone from Microsoft getting involved and knowing that you'd be good for that program to contribute to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's yeah, a little bit different that way, but yeah, a really great group of people there as well. I like both programs a lot.
Well, that's, yeah, I think speaks a lot to your involvement in the community that you have both of those, regional director and MVP. It's
fun. Yeah, I enjoy it. So
when just before we started, you were telling me that you just installed Win8 RTM on your main machine.
I did. I have it on my main and on my laptop now. I pretty much like a lot of people yesterday, which is August 15th was yesterday when it officially came out on MSDN. So took a while to get the keys and things, but once I got them, put them actually on my laptop first, and then I got it going last night on my, yeah, I repaid everything. I've been waiting months. Have you ever been in that scenario where you're like, you know, I really just need to start from scratch, but I knew this was coming out.
Yes.
So I'm like, I'll just deal with it because, you know, it's kind of running slow. But I will say the install is crazy fast on my laptop, which is an SSD. It was less than 10 minutes, which is crazy. And then on my main machine, it was probably right at 10 minutes, which I don't know if you remember, but I don't. I don't remember a Microsoft product ever being that fast, you know, installing an OS.
I don't remember being able to get to the point where you say, yes, install it in less than 10 minutes.
And that's the funny thing. You don't have to do anything. I mean, it's so easy a caveman might be able to do it. So
now, did you consider upgrading from the preview, or did you just repave the machines?
I repaved. My laptop, I didn't have anything on Windows-wise, so that was a pretty simple one. But yeah, my main one, you know, one of my friends, Rick Strahl, actually yesterday on Twitter was saying, why don't you just migrate? Because I guess that's really a cool feature. I haven't tried that. But like I said, I had so much junk on the C drive that it was time to repave. So yeah, I diligently copied things off to the cloud, and luckily I haven't found anything missing yet.
And when you do that, what you download from Microsoft is an ISO file. So how do you do the repaving? Do you put that on a thumb drive, or did you burn a DVD, or what did you do?
Yeah, I actually, I did the thumb drive, and I just, you know, went into when the BIOS loads, you can real quick, depending on your box, mine was Escape actually, which is kind of weird, you know, change the boot order. And then, yeah, I just booted right off the thumb drive. And from there, it just, boom, it just installed. There was a few minor things to pick, and super easy to get going.
And everything's working.
Yeah. Yeah. I have yet to find something that doesn't work, but like I said, I just got it going last night, and I still have quite a few things I want to get back on, so we'll see. But, you know, the normal stuff I use every day, like Outlook, Word, we're doing a lot with some training right now, so PowerPoint, it's all working. And then Visual Studio, I just have 2012 on now, and it loads up just really fast, which I like.
Yeah, Visual Studio 2012 is noticeably faster to load and to build. It's a clear performance improvement.
Yep.
Funny looking, but a performance.
Yeah, I got to find the registry hack for the, I still just haven't bought into the uppercase menu. I just, you know, there's a little registry hack with the previous edition that was out. So I got to go find that again.
That's very funny. So you've been working with programming for Windows 8 for a while, and you've been doing that both with XAML and with HTML5.
I have.
So I need to ask you the $64,000 question that everybody is asking, which is better?
And I'll give you the very vague answer of it depends, right? So first off, the reason I kind of dove into the HTML5 JavaScript side first, and that's mainly because, like yourself, I've done a lot with XAML. I love XAML. XAML is awesome. I wish all GUI frameworks relied on XAML as the rendering technology, but I hadn't done the HTML5 JavaScript for Windows 8 part. I've done a lot of that just for the web, but obviously there's a bit of a difference there. So I dove into that pretty deep. Then I've also done some XAML stuff. I haven't actually got to the point where I have an app I want to put in, unfortunately. It's just too much going on business-wise. But here's what I would say, I guess. If somebody's coming from, WPF, Silverlight, or Windows Phone 7, and they're really comfortable with XAML and C# or, VB or whatever it may be, then obviously it's just kind of common sense, probably makes sense to go with the XAML approach. Now, where that kind of convolutes things is if you're trying to get the max reuse out of the app, like you really do anticipate maybe putting it in PhoneGap as an example, or there's another framework called Titanium out there, then that's where the HTML5 JavaScript route may be attractive. It really depends. Most of the people I've talked to, they're building apps that are native to Windows. And so I think it's pretty cut and dry there. If you're a web, type person, you prefer to write in JavaScript, then, go that route. If you're XAML, go that route. Okay. If, however, you're trying to write your app to be as cross-platform, I guess you could say, as possible, then I think the HTML5 JavaScript route can be attractive. However, it's not like just out of the box, you can make it run in other frameworks because there's obviously some Windows 8 hooks, that you can tie into contacts or pictures or whatever it may be. So that's kind of my long-winded answer, I guess, and I'll let you kind of go from there with that.
Well, let me challenge you on a couple pieces here. First of all, I think we've all heard loud and clear from Microsoft that you should go with what you know. So if you're if you're a Java guy, go with Java, and if you're a XAML person, then go with XAML. But there are a lot of folks out there who don't necessarily consider themselves committed to one or the other. And there aren't many people who've been working in both as you have. So the question that comes up is which one is more efficient, which one is more performant, which one is easier to get going in and to be productive in?
I would have to say, in my opinion, having done a lot in both of those worlds, I still, from a productivity standpoint, I feel more productive in the XAML C# realm. Mainly because, number one, with C#, you get all the object-oriented stuff out of the box. Now, you can emulate that, with patterns in JavaScript, but you have to think about it more. And a lot of people don't know about those patterns. And so they're writing what I call function spaghetti code. So I do think from a productivity standpoint, I like the XAML route. I can just get up and running really fast. There's not much of a learning curve in my opinion. There's new controls, you have the flip view and you have your little dialogues that pop up and all that stuff. So there's some new stuff that wasn't in Silverlight or WPF. So for sure, there's still a little bit of a learning curve there. But compare that to the HTML side, you can just take, a web page with JavaScript and you can actually run it. But if you want to do any of the cool Windows 8 things, such as tie into the charms, use some of their built-in AJAX features to call out to whatever the service may be, those types of things. Now you got to learn the WinJS functionality, which is actually pretty well done, I think. I mean, it's easy to use once you understand it. I think the big thing there on both sides is, everything's asynchronous now. And so if you're not familiar with, the developer, I should say, is not familiar with asynchronous coding, that would be a little bit of a challenge, but that's not hard. It's just callback functions. So anyway, to circle back to your question, productivity wise, I still like XAML myself. That's just a personal choice. But I think being also a kind of a heavy web dev type guy, and that's my background actually, is more of the web dev side with ASP.NET and JavaScript and, Ajax and things. I think that side's very appealing if you'd like to keep it all in more of a web language, I think there's just a lot of people out there that already know that. So it really depends, like you said, you need to pick what you are comfortable with, I think.
What about the argument that XAML is a dead-ended technology? And let me push it to an extreme. Certainly there have been questions about, is Silverlight dead? And what's the future of WPF? Now, I, in a completely different mindset, could argue long and clear about Silverlight is not dead and WPF is certainly not dead and enterprises are still investing in those technologies. But there is a mindset that says that's a dead-end technology and that the future is HTML5. And even if you're a XAML programmer, you really want to be learning HTML5 and JavaScript because that's where the world is going.
So my take on that is I've always been of the opinion that it's worthwhile as a developer to be skilled in different areas. So I've just always kind of taken it upon I like to research. My perfect job would be, hey, Dan, just go build us prototypes of different technologies because I love doing that. So my personal take is I think you should learn both. Now, if you're building a native app, though, for Windows 8 that you want to put up in the store or maybe you want to sideload it, you know, for an enterprise scenario, which is going to be supported. If you're going to be targeting, you know, Windows Phone 8 when it comes out, which we don't know a ton about yet, we know XAML, though, will be there. Then, I don't agree with the XAML as a dead technology at all. Going back to your comment on Silverlight, even, you know, I don't know if there's going to be a Silverlight 6. Nobody really knows. At this point, I'm guessing not, but I could be wrong. That's why I don't gamble. What I would say is with the 10-year, you know, support that Microsoft's announced for that, just Silverlight alone, there's still a ton of companies I know of. In fact, I know of one specifically I just talked to last week that they're starting a new development project in Silverlight. So I guess it depends on who you talk to. You always have kind of the jump on the negative bandwagon crowd, and they don't really look at all the facts, I don't think. And then you have the people that actually take a step back and instead of jumping to conclusions, take a little bit of time to think it through. And if you think it through logically, no, I don't think XAML's dead at all. In fact, I would say it's with Windows 8, and especially as adoption increases, which we hope will really increase over the next, you know, year or two, I think it's going to be a huge player in Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. And, you know, WPF has a new version. What are we on, 4.5, I believe it is?
Yes.
So there you go. I mean, it's not going away. Now, I don't think it hurts, though, like I said, to learn the other side. And I like the other side, too, the HTML5 JavaScript. I really just think people need to go with what they're comfortable with. You know, this other company I mentioned, they were not worried at all about starting something in Silverlight. And I told them, to be honest, I don't blame you for not being worried. What they want to do would be very hard to do with pure HTML5 right now because it's very specific. And whereas in XAML, it's actually pretty straightforward. So we'll see where it goes. But yeah, my general recommendation is I think you need to make time to learn both sides of the equation.
So let's talk about that, about learning Windows 8 programming. There's obviously the first steps of understanding and integrating the idea of a application with the Windows 8 style and fast and fluid and so on and so forth. But then what's the next step? How do you get past that initial hurdle and really begin to learn how to do good Windows 8 programming?
So, you know, one of the great things, in fact, I just downloaded these this morning because I normally have them handy, but obviously I repaved my machine and I didn't save these. I would highly recommend for folks that are new to this, you know, definitely check out the Windows 8 SDK samples. They have the C#, they have VB, C++, and HTML5 JavaScript samples. And personally, I think that's probably the best way to get started because they have very specific features that they demo. And so I think for me personally, and you're probably in the same boat, I would guess, I don't know how much you've looked at them, but they make it really easy. Like if I want to do a pop-up, well, there's a sample for that. You know, if I want to deal with, I don't know, say accessibility, which I'm not really an expert in that area at all, but I remember I'd have to look again, but I'm pretty sure there's several accessibility examples. Or, you know, you want to tie into Bluetooth. You know, how do you do that with an app? Things of that nature.
Well, I completely agree. One of the things that's brilliant about the samples, and I applaud them tremendously for resisting the temptation to build a look how cool I can be kind of sample and instead building a dead simple here's how it works with as little in the way of understanding how it works as possible.
I totally agree with you. Yeah, because I think the normal approach is let's build a, you know, the classic example is like a to-do app or something, kind of an end-to-end app, which is good. And I'm sure they're going to come out with those too. Or in fact, I know you can get a few of them already. But yeah, like Bluetooth as an example. I haven't done that actually in Windows 8 yet, but there's an example. In fact, I just pulled up the folder just as we were talking, and there's a Bluetooth call control sample right here. And that's one of those things, if you do an end-to-end app, there's probably not any chance they're going to put that in, depending on the app, of course. So I agree with you. They did more of a feature-based approach, and I think it makes it easier to get started because instead of being very complex, and like in the case of XAML, you know, let's say that you came to this world and you've never done MVVM before. Well, if they did a full, we'll say, correctly architected app, which in my opinion involves MVVM, if you're new to that, you're kind of a big, even bigger hill has to be climbed, right? Yes. Whereas with what they did, it's pretty simple.
Now, the equipment that you mentioned that you've loaded Windows 8 on does not include a slate or anything with touch. Is that correct?
I don't have anything yet. Now, I will, once the, you know, Surface comes out, which they're saying end of October pretty much, then I'll, based on price, more than likely pick up one of those. But yeah, I don't have a touch right now.
So when you build your Windows 8 applications, you use the simulator?
Yeah, I'm having to do that right now. We do have downstairs the old, is it Asus? That at one of the PDCs, they gave away a touch one. I have not put Windows 8 on that, but my plan is to try to. But by the time I get to that, I'll probably have a Slate or a Surface or something.
Right. So what else have you been working on?
You know, another really cool area that is actually totally unrelated to what we're talking about here. There's applications out there. One of the ones we've been spending a ton of time in lately is called Unity 3D. And the word on the street, which I have directly from them, although they haven't given me the beta yet, they will also have a Windows 8 export option, I guess. Supposedly the Windows 8, or formerly known as Metro style, or I just read an article yesterday, it might be back to that again. I don't know. But anyway, a way to take a game development environment, but you can also build apps with it. We're doing something related to social media integrations in a 3D environment. And
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'm just trying to imagine what a social media in 3D would be.
No problem. We integrate some, it's kind of a unique way to view messages or pictures or anything social media related in a 3D type environment.
That could be very cool.
One of those things you'd have to see it first to understand it, yeah, for sure. Who knows if it'll even take off, but I've been working on it for almost 8 months now, so wow, we still got some work to go.
And is that something you're doing for yourself or for a client?
No, this one's just through my company. I decided that we've been sitting on the sideline too much on the game/social app area. So I have three people right now working with me on trying to get this thing done. So we shall see.
Well, you'll have to consider me for your beta program.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's great.
Which we're real close for that. I'll let you know. That's another option that once they supposedly come out with this Windows 8 export option, which I'm hoping I was told accurately they're going to have, then that'll be another way to target Windows 8, which I think is going to be pretty cool for some more immersive games,
yes,
I'll call it.
So, Dan, are you going to go to Build this year?
I had planned to go to Build this year. Are you going?
I am going, yes.
Are they going to have any cool giveaways?
I'm counting on it, I'll tell you that. 5 years I worked for Microsoft and I couldn't get any of the giveaways. So this year they better have, they better be giving away a Ferrari.
Yeah, you need one at this point. You didn't get the cool Slate last time, nope, the first Build, right?
Nope, didn't get it. I had to go out and buy my own.
Yeah, I was planning to go. John Papa and I, a good friend of mine, we co-chair one of the tracks at Dev Connections, which has been scheduled for a long time. And unfortunately, Build got booked right on top of Dev Connections. I've actually talked to the people involved with Build, and I guess it was just the only week they had all the engineers at Microsoft, most of them anyway, available. So long story short, I'll be in Las Vegas at Dev Connections, which I love going to. I'm a little bummed I can't go to Build, though, but I'll get over it. I'll watch the videos, right?
There you go. And the good news for Dev Connections is that Build sold out, so there'll be lots of folks who are looking for a conference.
Yep, there you go.
I think Build sold out in well under an hour. I mean, it was.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard. I heard there was over, and this was. Well, when did it open up? It's been a week, hasn't it?
Yes, about like that. It opened up on the 8th. I remember it opened up at 8 a.m. on 8/8.
Yeah, because a couple of days after that, I heard there was like 1,700 people waitlisted or something like that.
Wow.
That was the rumor going around. And that's probably up. You know, it's probably like 4,000 now.
And this is for a $2,000 conference. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy, which I think everybody's banking on the fact, though, that they're going to get a nice surface out of that 2000.
Well, that may be a driving factor, but I think it also speaks to the interest in Windows 8.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. And, I think everybody, I see it. I wrote a blog post right after Build. I don't remember what I called it, but I think I called it like why I'm excited about Windows 8. So this is back in, what was it, August? When was the first Build? June of last year?
Last year, yes.
June, I think. And when they showed what they had planned and the whole market and the penetration of existing Windows and all that, you know, kind of one of those light bulb moments happened. I went, wow, man, if you're one of the early people in and you actually have an app that people need and are going to use, I honestly think there's some serious potential there. You know, whether it's XAML or HTML, it doesn't matter. My mom doesn't care as long as it works. So I'm pretty excited about it. I have a couple things in addition to the one we're working on now, which is a little bit different than the norm, but a couple other ideas I'd like to do, but as usual, not enough hours in the day.
Yeah, I understand, but that potential of millions of consumers, every one of whom has the store on their start page.
It's huge. I really think I joked with a friend last night. We had a little Microsoft meetup here with our local evangelist, Mike Palermo. And excellent turnout, by the way. It was the user groups here, you know, you might be maybe get 25 people would be a good showing here in the Phoenix area, depending on who's talking and stuff like that. But we had a big crowd last night, and he just went through some of the scenarios for, you know, why getting into the market early and is a good thing and things like that. And I'd have to agree. I mean, nobody knows what the adoption is going to be like, but I'm pretty confident it'll do well.
Okay, before we stop, you can help me with my upcoming presentation on things you'll love about programming in Windows 8. What are the things that you really, really dig about programming Windows 8?
I have to say the templates, I think, are pretty dang good. A lot of what you do in Windows 8 is definitely more grid-oriented, right?
Yes.
You have all your grids, and the user, if they had a slate or a surface, can slide back and forth and all that. So the number one thing I really like is I think it's really easy to get going with, you know, if you want a split app or a grid app or whatever it may be, the templates are nice. Now, they took out some of the previous ones because I have the final Build installed, you know, Visual Studio here.
Mm-hmm.
And they did take out some of the templates they had. But that grid template alone would get you, I mean, you could get an app up and running if you had the data literally in less than an hour. If you just want to show the data and then, you know, make it look decent with some styles. I mean, it's that easy to do that. Now, obviously, you know, there's going to be some apps that aren't just all tile based. I don't mean tiles on the start screen, but in the app itself, you know?
Yes.
So, you know, those are going to take some more work, of course. But my number one thing I like is that. My number two thing I like, the emulator is for the tablet is freaking awesome. You know, as you know, they did some trickery with Hyper-V, I guess. And so they actually emulate Windows 8 running in Windows 8 pretty much.
Yes.
And I think it's so easy to kind of see right out of the box, hey, here's how my app's going to look like on the surface, even though we don't have one of those yet. That's pretty cool. And then I think to top all that off, that it's easy to get started, I think. You know, we talked about the samples. I talked about the templates. And then the emulator is really nice, I think. Is that if you already have a background in .NET or if you're coming from the web, at first when they came out with the whole HTML option, I was kind of one of those because I, you know, I'm a big XAML fan. I admit it. I was kind of like, you know, I don't know why they do that, but now I think it's a good idea. Regardless of which game you like to play, you can build these apps. And I don't mean that to say or seem kind of salesy because it kind of sounds that way, but you know, I'm just selling the fact that, hey, if you want to get involved, it's actually pretty easy to get involved. He last night mentioned some of the different apps that some local people already have that are going to be in the App Store before launch. And some real simple ideas. I mean, you know, not even task lists. There's going to be a million task list apps, I suspect. but you know, some real simple concepts that you probably could build out in less than a month and be up and running in the App Store. And just so everybody that's listening knows, Jesse did not prompt me for this, but with companies like, you know, Telerik, you're going to also have all these third-party components that make it even easier to get going fast. And that's pretty cool, I think.
Yes, and we just announced that our RAD controls for Windows 8 are 100% compatible with the RTM of Visual Studio 2012 and Windows 8. So thank you for mentioning Telerik. That was very helpful.
It's out yet, and I'll have to check those out.
And we'll send you that check that we promised you. And
yes. True. Did not ask me to say that. I just know that it's going to really help with some of the stuff people would want to write from scratch. And hey, why do that when you can take 30 seconds and drag something in?